Hillbilly Horror Stories presents Eerie Encounters.
When I was about 7 or 8, I was laying in bed trying to sleep through a brutal thunderstorm. I was the only person sleeping on the second story of this 150-year-old farmhouse. The house creaked and settled and was thoroughly terrifying to me as a child, so much that I usually slept with the lights on. I just knew there were legions of ghosts and monsters ready to attack me. So this thunderstorm wasn't doing anything for my nerves. I finally get to sleep, but was soon awakened by deafening thunder. I looked up to see the wall near the foot of my bed with blood streaming down it. All the nightmares were coming true. The problem was, I wasn't allowed to leave my bedroom. My parents had gotten tired of hearing about me being scared. So I laid there all night, watching the blood drip down from the ceiling, paralyzed with fear. Finally, morning came and I went barreling out of the room into my parents' room. I pictured one of those moments like in It, where I was the only one that could see the blood. But no, my parents could see it too. It turns out that after 100 or so years, the dark red bricks on the chimney were dissolving, and the dust from them formed a sludge in the rain. The story was sent anonymously. This is actually my husband's story. When he was in high school, he and some friends had a camp out at his friend's aunt and uncle's house in the country. They did the usual cooking out, putting up a tent, etc. At some point during the night, my husband went for a short walk near a small pond on the property to, you know, take a leak. As he was doing his business, he looked up and he saw a man walking around the edge of the pond towards him. He clearly saw this man, who was walking with his head down. He described him as wearing a red flannel shirt, jeans, and work boots. He thought this was very strange that the guy was out walking around a pond in the country in the middle of the night, so he just kind of yelled at him, "Hey man, what are you doing?" He didn't get an answer, and the guy kept walking past him, and was now facing away from him, when suddenly, he just wasn't there anymore. My husband went back and he told his friends what had happened. The boy whose relatives owned the property was shocked, and he immediately ran to the house and woke his parents up. He had my husband describe what he had seen. The boy's aunt immediately starts to cry. She had been seeing this same guy in the house, sometimes standing at the foot of the bed, and her husband did not believe her. He had been accusing her of possible insanity, and apparently they were on the brink of divorce from this issue. She was so relieved that someone had been able to validate what she had been experiencing for some time. The story was sent from Lana. My mom passed away in early November of 2005. I had gotten married at the end of May of that year, and she waited to tell the family that she was sick until the end of June. She didn't want to take away from the joy of the baby of the family getting married. It was way too fast, and none of us were ready to let her go. She always said that she wanted to go at home, no hospital or hospice. She said it for years, especially after my dad passed when I was 16. He passed at home surrounded by all of us up until the very end. That was what she wanted too. In the house that he built with his bare hands and the house that they raised the family in. So that's what we did. Basically, her 6 children moved back home and stayed with her for the final 2 months. We took shifts to see our husbands, wives, work during that time, whatever needed to be done, but at any given point, there were 4 of us there 24 hours a day. making sure she was surrounded by love and never alone. Now, I didn't take her death well. I mean, I did everything that needed to be done and I kept myself together, but we were close. And this was so fast and I did not want to believe it. I can't tell you the number of times I caught myself calling her, to then just stare at the phone mid-dial and realize that she wouldn't pick up. Well, a month after she passed, I was alone at my own home watching television. It was only about 7 p.m. and it was so dark at that time of year in New England when I caught some movement out of my left eye. About 12 feet from me, my mom walked through my kitchen stirring something in a bowl. She paused in the doorway, gave a little wave with her fingers from the hand wrapped around the bowl as her head tilted with a smile and moved past the doorway. I was frozen to where I was sitting. So I called out, "Mom?" I heard her laugh, her healthy laugh from before she got sick. And I couldn't smile anymore, let alone laugh. I went to the kitchen, but there was nothing. I swear on my life that this was real. She was there. The thing is, my mom was a great baker. She passed a lot of her recipes on to me, and while not as often as I would have liked, we baked together. It was time that I made both of us happy. We laughed, we chatted, we gossiped and drank tea while we waited for some delicious concoction to come from the oven. To this day, whenever I make her cheesecake, cookies, cream puffs, or meringues, I'm happy. I dance around the kitchen as I stir the bowl and I think of her and the time that she visited me. She has only visited me in my dreams since, always to warn me or help me with a problem that I'm having. I like to think that she was able to muster the energy to come see me in person just this once so that I knew that she was okay. I didn't have to be sad and that she would always be there. The story was sent from Clara in South Carolina. Four of us young women were sharing a spacious two-bedroom apartment on the third floor of a building. None of us had met each other before, but an online hunt for accommodations in a metro city brought us together. It had been a month, everything was good, and we were still getting to know each other and the city. On a particular Sunday night, we all went to bed around 12:30 a.m. It was after a night out. Our room had two queen-size cots. In between the two cots were small coffee tables and a chair. At around 2:30 a.m. in the morning, I was abruptly awoken. I barely opened my eyes to see one of my roommates sitting on the chair with her hands on the coffee table. I was not really alarmed, and I casually asked her why she was up at this hour. I dozed back off before I could even hear the answer. The next morning, everybody was rushing to work since it was a Monday. I returned back home after a long day, and then around 9 p.m., I would say. One of my flatmates was watching TV, and the other two were still not home. After talking about our day, she surprisingly asked me who was awake last night, and kept turning the lights on and off in the living room. Now, given my experience of the previous night, I said it must be Ishu, as I saw her sitting awake in the middle of the night. About an hour and a half after we had this conversation, the other two flatmates also came home. While we were eating dinner, Ishu looked at me and asked me why am I always awake in the middle of the night. She advised me to keep a bottle of water next to my bed. Shocked, I asked her to stop bluffing because I never wake up until I've snoozed my alarm a minimum of three times. I told her, "You're the one who was wide awake last night. You even disturbed the other two by fidgeting with the lights in the living room." Well, following this, I had the most creepy conversation of my life. Ishi revealed that she has seen me sitting on the chair in the middle of the night multiple times, including last night. When she woke up and saw me like this, She asked what I was doing, and apparently I told her that I woke up to get water. After hearing my answer, she fell asleep. We also learned that the other two roommates also got disturbed by the lights at around the same time. One of them even noticed the presence of someone passing by in the dark. But that isn't even the worst part. Ishu claimed to have seen me at least twice in the same position at the same time. This was the first time I noticed her sitting on the chair. After a little investigation, we learned from the neighbors that the house had remained unoccupied for way over a year. The previous tenant had passed away following a miscarriage. That piece of information was enough for us to believe that there was a fifth flatmate. Least to say, we all vacated the place in less than a week. The story was sent from Sharmila A. You have been listening to Hillbilly Horror Stories Presents Eerie Encounters. If you have an eerie encounter that you would like read on the show, please send it to hillbillyhorrorstories@gmail.com.